You're listening to Bill Martinez Live. Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez Live.
Just the way you like it, America, all about you, because it's about we the people. All of us coming together for each other's better good, huh? What a concept. 13 minutes before the top of the hour, I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. And if you want to drop me an email, by all means, it comes to me direct. NSA approved, I will add. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Just don't put, top secret on the top, because I like other people in our country. We just ignore those signals, okay? So don't put top secret or, of the greatest, most top secret, that kind of stuff. All right. Hey, nice. Nigel Dessau, I don't know. It must be some art. I don't know what they put in the coffee here. So, I'm going to have to get recentered here. But maybe Nigel can help me out. Nigel Dessau is a nationally award-winning marketing professional. He's had over 25 years of experience leading corporate marketing and communications for several multi-million and billion-dollar companies. He began his career by working for IBM in the UK and later in New York, and later worked as an executive with other Fortune 500 firms. Dessau is also a creator behind the three-minute mentor website, which provides career guidance through three-minute videos. I think a great idea. Nigel, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Hey, good to have you here. I mean, time is precious, and maybe because of our ability to stay focused, the I'm homogenizing those two terms. I apologize. Three-minute mentor concept is very relevant today.
I think so. One of the signals that you're in the 21st century is that people move quickly, they think quickly. By the way, following up on your point about the server, one of the other real issues for the 21st century is transparency. And I think that's going to catch a lot of people out, because nothing goes away anymore. Not only is it quick, but it never goes away.
Well, but Hillary said those Snapchats, what she liked was that they went away. They automatically deleted themselves, she said. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know that. We don't know what they're saving in Snapchat. I mean, I think in this 21st century, you have to accept that everything lasts forever. And in business and life, it's probably the best way to approach how you communicate.
Well, and I think that's critical, especially for young millennials. I did some an adjunct professorship in Southern California, and I was telling the kids, you have to be careful today. When you go and apply for a job, in some cases, the companies are being rather overt and saying, okay, give me the password to your Facebook. And, some kids will reluctantly turn over their password, and the interviewer will take a look and see what's there. And so the things that people are saying about themselves through social media, it can be harmful to your future in business.
Yeah, I tell people to think of themselves as a brand.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
Your career is not a sprint, it's a marathon. You're going to be working for 40 years, who knows, even longer. So think of yourself as a brand. How do you protect the brand? You wouldn't say bad things about your brand if you're a company. So you've really got to be sensitive to how you project yourself and really plan some of that through. And that's, I think, hard for people to do. But in the end, it'll come back and bite them if they don't.
Well, as you know, Nigel, anything that's new goes through its critical process of development. In the early stages, we make a lot of mistakes, and hopefully for the millennials, nothing is absolutely devastating that follows them, and sometimes it can be, unfortunately, that it could stick with you. So you need to, as you say, protect the brand of your own reputation and what you're putting out into the marketplace. And, you don't want to go around creating some self-inflicted wounds that are going to follow you for the rest of your business career.
Now, of course, move yourself forward a few years when the millennials are, by 2020, half the workforce, and they'll start becoming predominant in the leadership of the workforce. They're going to view what other millennials said, on their Facebook when they were younger, different than maybe a baby boomer. So some of this, to your point, is going to work its way through. But I think you've got to own your career. You've got to own your life, and not doing stupid things as part of that.
Yeah, that's a great you know, a great tip for everybody, and you know, young or old for that matter. I want to talk to you specifically about the what you call the millennial effect in the workplace. Unfold that for our audience, if you would.
Right. So you hear millennials all the time. What is a millennial? The simplest thing to think about millennials is they were either born after 1980, or more practically, they came into the work world as the century turned to 2000. So that means, you know, they've come into a very different world, a world that's very networked, a world that's very technical and technology-based, a world that's very global and very transparent. And what they want and what they look for in jobs is different from what the previous baby boomers or Gen X did. And I think businesses are struggling at the moment to work out how to hire and to retain those millennials because they are different and they think differently.
Is it also tough in terms of these millennials who are graduating, who graduated from college and they've got all this debt and they're coming in? Are they finding themselves a bit of a round peg in a square hole still in this environment?
Yeah, actually, that's a really good point. Lots of the jobs that maybe I did when I was younger don't exist anymore. The bottom of the ladder, you know, the ladder starts halfway up for many of these people. Mm-hmm. And they come with huge debt, and they come with what someone I know used to call, you know, all college, no knowledge. So they come very academically capable and not experienced in working in the world life. And much of the three-minute mentor, much of the book was really about how do we give those people the career advice? How do we give those people the mentoring and the skills so they can succeed? Because what existed when I was young doesn't necessarily exist today.
Exactly. Well, and you say there's a new level of expertise that is more than required. It's demanded of the 21st century executive, isn't it?
I think so. And, you know, if 25 years ago, if you did a good job and you worked hard and you, you know, accepted you were going to have maybe two or three jobs in your life, and life was easy if you did the right things. Well, not easy, but at least it was plannable. Now it's much harder. You're much more quickly being assessed. You're much more often being assessed. And you've really got to think about how you get the right content, the right skills, and the right network. Or you're going to be left behind by people who get those things.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no participation trophies here, right?
Well, I think it's come up a lot recently, hasn't it, about participation trophy. And I think there's a sense, particularly, you know, amongst millennials when they get their first job, that, you know, why am I not being promoted? Well, all you did was come in and do what I asked you to. That's not differentiating. That's not what makes you different. And I don't think they're necessarily being given the advice of how to demonstrate the difference and how to make themselves, or as the book says, break away from the pack. Because if you don't, then you're letting somebody else manage your life rather than yourself.
It is a competitive issue, and I believe that's what the Pittsburgh Steelers' James Harrison was trying to teach his kids. And you know, if there's other kids around that, you know, saw the news clip on James Harrison, you know, maybe they might get the message as well. I mean, his kids are 6 and 8 years old. You know, some said, well, you know, hey, they're only 6 and 8. Yeah, you know, that's no big deal. But he's saying, hey, look, but they're, you know, another 10 years, they're going to be 16 and 18. And, you know, the world doesn't work that way. You got to go out and you have to compete. And that's what's happening in the 21st century as well, is competition is still the thing. And as you say, you still got to be better than the other guy. So you're not going to just get applauded and get a raise just because you showed up for work.
I have to tell you, I've learned the most when I've failed or when I've done something wrong or when I've, you know, the moments when my blood drains because I've screwed up something. That's the times, honestly, when I've learned the most. And I worry about people not getting those experiences, not getting those opportunities. Because it's not until you leap do you get to the other side.
You know, and to that point, I appreciated this in, you know, in the early readings about Hewlett-Packard. And one of the values, core values they held in their culture was they afforded the opportunity for their employees to make mistakes.
Yeah, I remember my first job, I think the first day I screwed up something. And 2 minutes later, I went to the guy that was managing me and said, oh, I think I've screwed this up. And he said, because you told me now, it costs us nothing. In a day, it costs us a dollar. In a week, it costs us $10. You know, in a month, it costs us $100. So making mistakes isn't a problem. We all do that by learning. But admit them, understand what, and learn from them. That's what we need you to do.
Yeah, that's the deal. I mean, it's the opportunity. It's life's lesson. And guess what? Mistakes come with the journey, doesn't it?
It does. And I think you're right. It is a journey. I often say it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Exactly.
And you're going to trip and you're going to run into things. But having the perseverance to go on means you'll build for you and your family the sort of life and career that you want.
Well, Nigel, the landscape, not only of America, I'd say the entire globe at this point, with technology coming in the way it is, the competitive factors that are happening on a global scale, the whole environment is changing. What does the employee of the 21st century have to be mindful of?
So I think the most important thing they have to be mindful is that they own their career and that they own their choices, and that they're going to have to make a series of choices and live with those choices. Now, it doesn't mean they can't change their mind, but have a sense of where you want to get to. Have a sense of what you're heading for, and then make decisions and live with those decisions that alter them. And I think if you do that in an organized and planned way, you're going to end up getting to where you're trying to get to.
You know, Nigel, I know some people take exception to this when we talk about American exceptionalism, but I believe what's ingrained in the DNA of the citizenry of America is the desire to do a good job and to go out and be productive. I've maintained that if we just unshackled the labor force here, our GDP would go up exponentially because people want to go out there and, you know, put in a good day's work for a fair amount of money.
And actually, the opportunity that America gives you to do that is what drags people like me here, because you can succeed here like nowhere else.
Exactly. Nigel Dessau has been with us. Nigel, thank you so much. It's Bill Martinez at